Many of you know that I was a scientist before becoming a minister. And I did not give up my former perspective when I embraced my current one. Even though some people might have assumed that it's a mandatory concession for anyone becoming a religious professional to sacrifice a certain amount of reason for faith or rationale for wonder. But my experience was that even with greater scrutiny, even donning a microscope or a telescope instead of imagination and story, our understanding of where we come from only becomes more wonder-filled and therefore wonderful. And furthermore, I don't believe that you have to do what many in religion have long feared and therefore have fought against, which is to deny the significance of important dates like December 25th in celebrating our birth. I believe that even from a completely scientific perspective, Christmas Day can be understood as one of the most important birth dates in the history of all creation. And this morning I would like to explain how. But before I do, let me assure you that upon my ordination, I not only refuse to set aside my loyalty to science, I refuse to relinquish my loyalty to history. And I know, for example, that the early church fathers, when they pronounced December 25th, the day of Jesus' birth, they did so while winking and nudging the cardinals beside them. For their decision on that date was less for accuracy and more to take advantage of the common pagan festivals which celebrated the solstice or the rebirth of the sun. They were trying to replace the rebirth of the cosmic cycles with the rebirth of humanity. Now, we may look back on their decision to impose their authority as self-centered or therefore delusional, but maybe they were just a little bit more accurate than even they realized. Those in the modern era who have used science to study things like the birth or rebirth of things like the sun have discovered that there was a whole lot of begatting going on that the authors of the Bible or even the early pagans had no idea about. And in fact, if you trace all of the begatting back far enough to the origins of the universe, you will have to go back and begat for 14.4 billion years. Because we don't have that kind of time, I'm going to take advantage of the creative thinking of evolutionary theologian Michael Dowd, who merged his love of science and religion by creating what he called a religious cosmic timeline. Excuse me. In this timeline, he compresses our entire evolutionary history into a single 100-year century. Now, what that means is 100 cosmic timeline years equals 14.4 billion actual years, right? So every decade in the cosmic timeline equals 1.44 billion actual years. Every cosmic year is 140 million years. Every cosmic day is 400,000 actual years. And every cosmic minute represents 250 actual years. The sad news is that that means that this sermon will last over 5 millennia. In the cosmic timeline, the birth of the universe began at 1 second past midnight on January 1st, the year zero, with an explosion that lasted clear into the next day, nearly 1 million years worth of explosion. This explosion resulted in hydrogen gas being disseminated all throughout space. In various regions, hydrogen gas localized together into intense gravitational fields and pressurized to temperatures between 1,000 and 30,000 degrees Celsius, thus birthing stars. The bigger and denser the stars, the hotter the temperature. And the process occurred in countless places simultaneously throughout space. Stars created clustered together into gravitational regions on days 2 through 8 of the cosmic timeline. This was the birth of all galaxies. It was so hot and so pressurized in the belly of some of these stars that hydrogen atoms were converted by a process known as nuclear fusion into more complex elements like helium. When helium burns, like I said in the story, it is what makes the fire, the heat, the brightness. But in the hotter stars, in the denser stars, this nuclear fusion is even more intense, and it bonds together hydrogen and helium to create more complex atoms like carbon and oxygen and silicon and magnesium and every other element in the periodic table. For the first 60 years on the cosmic timeline, stars were continually born and burned out, and new stars came into being. Expiring stars often exploded, sending all of their elements at their core hurling into space, and these molten masses of elements formed asteroids and planets and moons. And it is important to remember that every single thing that has mass, an asteroid or planet or moon, and everything on them can trace its origins to star stuff. In other words, we, having evolved from out of the Earth, are literally made of stardust. Stars explode. New stars form. Planets are made. A whole lot of begats were required to create this universe we are part of. Our solar system was formed in the 67th year of this cosmic timeline. By some miracle, Earth falls into orbit with a small star at the exact distance required to maintain a narrow band of atmospheric pressures and temperatures to allow water to exist in liquid form. In the 69th year of the cosmic timeline, Earth cooled below the boiling point of water. While the temperature of Earth cooled, the water vapor condensed and it rained constantly, much worse than Seattle. And it is interesting to know, with the exception of some icy comets that struck the planet millions of years ago, all the water on the Earth today existed at the time of Earth's formation. No water has been created since, only recycled and filtered through the atmosphere. Every glass of water that you drink has trace elements of dinosaur atoms, and atoms of Jesus, and atoms of Hitler, and they are all stardust. Sometime in the 7th decade of the cosmic timeline, Earth reached its current temperature. Under the pressure of the Earth's surface, different elements came together to form molecules. Molecules begat linked molecules, and linked molecules eventually begat the first most primitive form of bacteria, single-cell prokaryotic bacteria, little cells of life without a nucleus. It took another billion years, or 7 years on our cosmic timeline, for those prokaryotic cells to finally find their way to the surface of water. But when they did, they begat a new evolutionary process harnessing energy from sunlight, and they birthed a new kind of cell, one capable of photosynthesis. These new photosynthetic creatures used the sun's energy to break down water into hydrogen and oxygen. And these new prokaryotic cells integrated the hydrogen and released the oxygen into the atmosphere. After a decade or so on the cosmic timeline, 1.5 billion years in actual time, the atmosphere became so saturated with oxygen from this process that all the bacteria all over the planet began dying. Facing extinction, these formerly competitive prokaryotic bacteria begat an evolutionary cooperative process, joining together to produce eukaryotic cells, or cells with a nucleated center containing DNA. DNA provided a blueprint of replication, and this revealed one of the central core truths of evolution, that all cooperative entities will always outcompete and outsurvive non-cooperative entities. All birth and evolution to this point took 13 billion years, or 9 of the 10 decades on the cosmic timeline. The final decade began with a monumental leap of evolutionary complexity when eukaryotic cells combined to create multicellularity. This is where different types of cells come together to form one living organism. The next thing to come into play around January of 92 was the introduction of sex. I know we may associate with January 92 with the inauguration of Clinton, but that's purely coincidence. The development of sex was incredibly important for evolution, not because it boosted movie sales. Sex meant that there were now two sets of DNA involved in reproduction and replication, which meant diversity was able to exist, and it expanded what was creatively possible exponentially. Diversity always promotes faster and more stable evolution. Around April of the cosmic year of 94, we begin to see heterotrophy, creatures eating other creatures. If we pause to reflect on what occurred in the final chapter of Jesus' life, we encounter his comments about communion. Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This statement and heterotrophy in general may seem like cannibalism, but think of it from a larger perspective. This was actually the birth of ecosystems. In religious terms, it was the universe in a new kind of communion with itself. Around June of the year 95, better late than never, brains came into existence. Nervous systems developed at this time. Shortly after that, around December of 95, when brains were still very, very, very tiny and not used for very much, sexual organs came into existence. I'll let you make your own joke about that. From vertebrate creatures, backbones came into existence around January of 96. Later that cosmic year, animals began coming onto land. Remember, when I say that cosmic year, I'm really talking about 100 million actual years later. Before animals came onto land, everything that I've already mentioned took place in or around the water. When they came on land, amphibians developed legs in February of 98. Dinosaurs came into being around March of 98. They lasted until sometime in May of 99. In February of 99, a few months of the cosmic timeline before, flowering plants and trees came into existence. And this may seem benign and irrelevant with respect to the human lineage, but have you ever stopped to consider why flowers evolved to be so beautiful and smell so scrumptious? Why they're intentionally designed to entice an animal for one reason or another? Think about fruit trees, for example. Why would you, as a fruit tree, surround your children, the seeds, with juicy, tasty, delicious pulp? trying to entice some animal to come by, eat your children, and drag them away from you, their parents, and deposit your children in a nice fertile mound somewhere out on the plain, if not just to give them a place to grow and thrive. But here it is important to realize that there are cases where outside influences get thrown into the equation. In May of 99 of the cosmic timeline, which is actually only about 65 million years ago, an asteroid the size of Mount Everest hit off the coast of Mexico going 50,000 miles per hour. It was estimated that it was going 9 million miles per hour, but was slowed down by the Earth's atmosphere. It hit the Earth with such an impact that it created at least 6 tsunamis, each one over 300 feet tall. The crust of the Earth rippled so that on the exact opposite side of the planet, there was a lava outpouring in the Deccan Traps of India. To give you an idea of the sheer power and magnitude of this event compared to, say, our power, if you took all of the nuclear weapons that we have made on Earth and set them off all at the same place, all at the same time, the event which took out the dinosaurs was 1,000 times as powerful as those nuclear weapons. The asteroid strike set off a deluge of sulfuric acid rain and a huge cloud of dust that blocked the light from the sun for months. There was a great wave of extinctions, including nearly every land animal whose adult form weighed more than 50 pounds. The impact also triggered a global firestorm that incinerated a quarter of the living biomass, releasing an enormous amount of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere that increased the average global temperature by 20 degrees for a million years. When you compare this birth story to the one in Luke or Matthew, it makes the threat of Herod seem pretty insignificant. All of this happened in May of 99. By June, 12 million years later, mammals were coming into being. The increasing size of brains also meant the more complex emotions came into play. Animals with hands and opposable thumbs came into existence around October of 99. So if we pause for a second, it's important to notice that we're now in the last few months of this cosmic timeline, and nothing that we today associate with civilization has even shown up yet. If you actually trace it back mathematically, Homo habilis, or what they call handyman, the first beings to use stone tools, the first beings that could actually be called human beings, evolved into being somewhere during the day of December 25th in the last year of the cosmic timeline. On December 25th, Christmas Day, humanity was born. What can we glean from all of this? Several things. The first thing is this. We do all of religion and evolution a great injustice if we think of Jesus or if we think of ourselves as the pinnacle of creation. Neither Jesus nor we were born to be idolized. Neither of us was designed to be the be-all, end-all of all creation. Both of us were put here to help shepherd those who come after us in wise and caring ways. Like Matthew and Luke, it is imperative for us to know our history and write our narrative and describe it so others after us can learn it and honor it and revere it. And never forget that the creative or innovative ways that life was advanced to give us our time here. Like Jesus' birth story, ours includes omens of crisis. We are born into troubled times, and much awareness and much sacrifice is asked of us if time will continue to evolve. It is about time we human beings pay special attention to our birth narrative and recognize something stunning and rare and important. And that is to notice that we are the first species to break a 14 billion year evolutionary law to make it possible and profitable for a subset to thrive at the expense of the whole. The reason that things like civil rights and women's rights and now class rights with the 99% come into awareness in our culture is that it is in direct defiance to basic evolutionary principles of cooperation and communion. What will save us? Carl Sagan said at the end of his Cosmos series that we are the local embodiment of a cosmos grown into self-awareness. We have begun to contemplate our own origins. We are star stuff pondering the stars. Teilhard de Chardin said this: the human person is the sum total of 15 billion years of unbroken evolution now thinking about itself. The scientist looking through the telescope is literally the universe looking back at itself. Before us all, this very day, is the task of tracing our origins. Whether we trace our origins back to Abraham or Adam or dig up dinosaur bones or peer through the Hubble telescope back at the universe, we are engaging in an attempt to trace our origins back to one and the same magnificent source. Friends, our task is not to demand one path or denounce another, but to cultivate wonder and awe, appreciation and reverence for the variety of paths that converge before us, and to realize that each of us holds a key to evolution by how we discover ways to weave our many paths together into cooperation and communion. And whether we say like Carl Sagan that we are the universe contemplating ourselves, or say like Jesus said when he told us that the kingdom is within you, we will know it is just an arbitrary matter of choice whether we look at December 25th and say Merry Christmas or Happy Birthday to the glory of life.